Do you like your name? Why or why not? Do you worry about your child's future happiness and success when choosing a name for your baby? Do you think traditional common names are best, or are you drawn to more unusual, standoutish names? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are going to talk about baby naming trends this hour and how having a very common or very unusual name can affect us. Our conversation is prompted by the release of the Social Security Administration's Most Popular Baby Names list and by a piece that was written by a woman named Sarah, who wrote about what it was like growing up with a common name. So, what has it been like for you growing up with your name, be it common or more unusual? Did it work for you or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Laura Wattenberg, creator of the website BabyNameWizard.com and author of the book, The Baby Name Wizard. We've talked to her more than a few times. She was recently quoted in an article that was titled The Psychological Effects of Growing Up with an Extremely Common Name. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Nice to have you back. Before we get into growing up with an extremely common name, let's talk a little bit about the Social Security Administration's list of 2016 most popular and least popular baby names. Looks like we've got some repeat winners here. Noah for boys, Emma for girls. I think Noah's been 4 years in a row, Emma 3 years in a row. Why do you think they're long-lasting popular names?
I think that the top of the charts definitely look the same, and they share a little bit of a feeling. They're traditional names, but names that weren't very popular a couple of generations ago, and they're very, very smooth. We definitely like smooth names today, heavy on the vowels, no more consonants. But even that seeming consistency that Noah and Emma continue at the top of the charts, it's a little bit of an illusion because those number one names every year represent fewer and fewer babies than in the past. There's just less consensus than in the past. Something is up at the top of the heap, but it's not like what John and Mary or even David and Jennifer used to be.
Yeah. Well, there are some. I noticed, for example, William was in the top 10 for boys, and we have a producer, Bill Martins. And I consider William or Bill sort of one of those traditional common names, isn't it?
It's interesting you say that. William is, Bill no longer is.
Oh.
That we've seen a part of that smoothness switch over. You know, lots of little Williams, they go by William, Will, or Liam. Liam is actually part of what's driving the continued popularity of William, but Bill is almost non-existent in today's kids.
Isn't that something? So even if a child is named William, he will stay William, he won't be nicknamed Bill, is what we're thinking.
Absolutely. A Bill is typically a different generation today from a Will or a Liam.
That's so interesting, and I didn't realize Liam was coming from William. Now I know. I can see why. What about? Are there any traditional Joes or Johns in the popular names today or not?
There aren't so many of the Joes and Johns. The J names that dominated for centuries are starting to fall away, and even among traditional names, the fact that we're looking at a Noah, Ethan, Elijah now is a top 10 name in America. So these are obviously biblical names, but so were John and Mary. We're looking at a different set of names that even parents who are traditional enough to want a biblical classic aren't willing to go with the classic names that used to dominate.
Yeah. As I mentioned, our conversation was prompted in part by this article that Nyasia, my producer, found on what it was like growing up with an extremely common name. And the woman who wrote that article was named Sarah. And is that still an extremely common name?
Sarah is a little less common than it used to be, but it certainly hasn't fallen out of fashion. And I thought it was fascinating that just the fact that we're asking that question, what are the effects of fitting in essence? This is something you never would have heard in past generations. All of the questions, all of the research was on the effects of having an unusual name. How could that harm the child?
Yeah, that's right. And that was the gist I was getting from this is that some parents Some parents were worried about giving a child a very unusual name, thinking that might hurt future success in the job market, for example.
I think there is, in fact, some evidence of that. Today's parents are very, very eager for their kids to stand out. We approach naming as a creative act, as opposed to the idea of just choosing from a menu. But the important thing to remember is that popular just means well-liked. So the more uncommon a name you're choosing, the more likely that we don't have consensus, and some people are going to either react negatively or just be baffled by it.
Yeah. So if parents want their child to stand out, they have to walk a fine line between having their child stand out and also having a well-liked name.
Exactly. That's just where you see that today's hit name is coming from. A name like Elijah, everyone recognizes it. We see the tradition behind it, but it feels fresh because when we were growing up, no one around us had that name.
Yeah. So I did notice also from the Social Security list, and I'm not going to make this a political hour by any means, but it was pointed out that the name Don or Donald has tumbled.
That was inevitable, partly just because the name Donald was already on the way out. If you think of a name that's the opposite in sound of a Noah or Liam, Donald is all hard sounds, all consonants. But beyond that, since Watergate, America has stopped naming after presidents. We used to do it routinely. The name Warren, you think of Warren like Warren Buffett as a common name of a whole generation or two of men. It wasn't until Warren Harding took office.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we do not do it. We avoid the names of politicians, frankly, until they're dead. Then we feel like it's safe. So Ronald Reagan inspired almost no baby names when he was elected, but his passing created a generation of little Reagans.
Oh, yeah, his last name. That's right.
And because the last name sounds fresher and more stylish than Ronald does today.
Yeah. It also noted and that Caitlin was a name that was popular for various times, but that one really took a dive in terms of popularity. Do we think that's, I mean, why do we think that is?
I think, again, Caitlin was already falling fast. It was very much a name of the 1990s. But there's no question that the new emergence and announcement of Caitlyn Jenner's identity last year put a damper on the name. Not just, I think, in that parents were running away from the trans identity, but they were running away from the spectacle. That name was suddenly on every magazine cover, constantly in the news. It felt taken. That name was just too associated with the celebrity now.
So in general, Laura, what drives baby naming trends?
I think today what's driving baby naming trends is something we've never seen before, which is an overwhelming desire to be unique. That was just simply wasn't the case. For millennia, actually, baby names didn't change. They weren't objects of fashion. But the really striking thing this year is not at the top of the charts, but the fastest rising names.
Okay.
We're seeing names that are so bold that parents in the past would have just ruled them out of hand. Names of suggesting majesty, like names like royalty and legend were two of the fastest rising names. But even names of villains that we're willing to have, we're so eager for the style that stands out that we're naming our kids Bellatrix, for instance, from Harry Potter, or the number one fastest rising baby name, boy's name in America last year was Kylo from the new Star Wars film. I don't want to give spoilers, but you would think that Kylo in that film would be the last character you'd ever want to name a child after.
I don't remember. I did see the film, too. that is interesting. Now, why would a parent pick a bold name like my child's name is Legend? I mean, that's kind of full of yourself, isn't it?
I think, you know, if you think of it as a gift. I mean, the positive way to look at it is that you are telling this child, I have all the faith in the world in you. There's that everyone has to see that you are valued and respected. But in order to even think of that, we have to have decided not to go with Jim or Bob. We've just opened up the floodgates. There are no more limits or definitions to what makes a name.
Yeah. When we spoke last time, I think you said Joy was making a little bit of an uptick. What about now? Is the name Joy even on the list?
Now, Joy is still an uncommon name,
yeah.
But it is rising. That you see Joy as an alternative. In fact, it was rose quite dramatically this year and is now back in the around the top 300 names. We see parents who might have chosen faith or grace a few years ago, and they say, well, I want something more distinctive than that. Mm-hmm. And Joy is a great alternative.
We are talking about names and baby names and name trends and wondering, do you like your name? What went into your name or what went into the choice of your child's name? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about our names and the names that we give our children. And we're welcoming your examples and your questions for our guest, who is the Baby Name Wizard, Laura Wattenberg, creator of the website Baby Name Wizard, author of the book, The Baby Name Wizard. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions about names at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our conversation is prompted by the release of the Social Security Administration's Most Popular Baby Names list. It was released last week, and we're talking about the names that are on the top of the list and at the bottom of the list, the fastest rising ones, and again, talking about your name or the name you chose for your child and why and what it means to you. Elamin Abdullah is with us from Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for calling. So talk about your name.
Well, my name... legally, on my birth certificate right now, I would say is Elamin Abdullah. So, but that's not my birth name. My birth name was Julian Leatherwood, and there's even something interesting about that, in that the last name that I have is the last name of my father's brothers and sisters. So my father was my grandmother's firstborn child, who she had by one man, and then she had four other children that she bore to another man. My father ended up but he ended up getting the last name of his brothers and sisters. And unbeknownst to him, that was not his father.
Oh, I see. But you're saying that your name that you have now is not the name that was on your birth certificate? So you changed your name?
Well, that's what I was getting to. My father, whose name is Muhammad now, my father changed his name and changed my name and my oldest brother's name, who were born at the time when he joined what was the religious establishment in the early 70s under the leadership of Elijah Muhammad.
Right. And I'm sorry, so, I do. We just don't have a tremendous amount of time, Elamin.
Yeah.
So your name is your name in part because of religious and cultural reasons.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, to brief, I mean, because it could, of course, get lengthy. But yeah, so names are something... The subject of how you get your name. My name, Elamin, I mean, if you went to the Middle East, that might be a very popular name, because it's actually
right. The
nickname of Muhammad. So Muhammad the Prophet, who is the Prophet of Islam, is probably one of the most popular names in the Middle East.
And throughout Africa. Yeah.
And maybe in other Muslim countries, it's one of the most popular names. And his nickname may even be more popular, as popular, which is my name, Elamin. But here in this country, there's a lot of controversy, I believe. And I believe even at the time that my father changed my name, he probably was not as aware of the fact that the Iran-Contra affair was going to spawn maybe in the late 70s, because I was born in 70, but, I mean, the way in which the name that I have became associated, people no longer associate it much, as much with the Nation of Islam as they do with things that are maybe associated with ISIS and terrorism and all types of other things. So until Barack Obama became the president, I always had very mixed emotions about having a name like that that I had and what it meant for me being able to do things just as basic as get a job.
Yeah.
Well, I said, but when Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, I think that's an important part of it. When he became the president, I changed my mind.
I'm going to, we could talk with you all hour, really, because there is a lot to, I'm sure that you're affected in many different ways by your name. And it's very interesting that having the president of the United States with a middle name that was familiar to you was so important to you. But Laura, I mean, there is what I also found interesting about El Amin's comment is that his name is very common in the Middle East, but not so common here. And so it depends maybe where you live too, right?
It absolutely does. And I think that in a way we're seeing that even within the United States, we're starting to see more of a fracturing of name styles, so that instead of just a name being an American name, a foreign name, you can, with more and more diverse name choices, you can read more about somebody's background, not just perhaps their religious background or their ethnic background, but finer details, how old someone is, what kind of family background they came from, what their parents' tastes and interests and culture was. The more we move away from a uniform culture of John and Mary in this country, the more your name says about you and where you come from.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but there was a list also released recently, and maybe it was compiled by some of this data from Social Security Administration, but it was the most popular baby names all over the world, you know, from different countries. Do you know if there's any, different trends or unique aspects about baby naming around the world?
It's interesting. When I looked most recently at lists from, I compile lists from dozens and dozens of countries, any place that does keep baby name statistics. And surprisingly, I found one name that in just about every country with a European naming tradition had risen in popularity, and that is Sophia. That is the world's trendiest name. Huh. One thing that Russia and the United States have in common, but also have in common with Spain, say, or Italy. That is a name that rose simultaneously across the globe.
Sophia. Wonderful. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So do you like your name? Do you think your name has helped you or hurt you in your success at work or in overall happiness? Do you think about that when naming your child? Did you think about that when you named your child? Tell us if you have what you consider a common name or a more unusual name. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Stormy emailed, she says, or he says, I think it's a she. My name is Stormy, and I have always been fascinated with names. As a teacher, it was difficult to come up with the right names for our kids. There we go. My husband and I named our girls Rain and Skylar. She goes by Sky. Just like my young teen daughters, I grew up with a love-hate relationship with my name. I hated the teasing and embarrassing moments when meeting new people and the inane comments that some would make. However, I love having a unique name. It has gotten me job interviews. It stands out in people's minds. It's caused some amusing situations in regards to what people assume about our family. So, yeah, that's interesting. She's Stormy, and their children are Rain and Skylar.
Yeah, Rain, that's a powerful family theme that you don't often see. But her story of her own relationship to her name, I think, is a classic one. There's sort of a name life cycle that growing up as little kids, we like our name and take it for granted. Then you hit a point. Pretty much every 10 or 12-year-old girl decides that whatever name her parents chose for her doesn't fit her anymore. That's just part of growing up, that as you hit that point where you're starting to establish your own identity, question your own identity, you tend to push back against your name. And that's when a little Katie becomes a Cat or a Catherine. So then we pass through that, and almost every adult comes to appreciate, not all of us, but most of us come to appreciate our name and grow into it and over time.
Next, we go to Nancy in McGuanago. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. And where did you get your name? How did that come about?
Well, my mother originally wanted to name me Juanita because when I was born, I had really, really dark hair and a lot of it. And my dad kind of put the kibosh on that and wanted to name me after Nancy Sinatra.
And he won.
And he won. Yes, he did. And it's funny because when I talk to people and their name is Nancy, we're usually around the same age. So it must have been a popular name in the late 50s and early 60s.
Yeah, and I know a Nancy, and she would be around that same generation, Nancy.
Yep. What I noticed, too, is the name Carol. If I meet a Carol, a lot of times they're born near around the Christmas holiday.
Ah, you're like a Christmas Carol. So,
correct.
Nancy, are you happy with Nancy, or would you have wanted Juanita? What do you think?
I would have been happy either way.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have mattered. I think ethnically people might have asked me if I was part Indian or like American Indian or...
Latina. Interesting. So any reaction, Laura?
I think that Nancy's quite right that she has a name that suits her generation, not just her own name, but that was a generation that loved nicknames. Nancy started out originally as a nickname for Anne. And if you meet a woman with a full given name of a Nancy or Kathy or Vicky, those names all cluster together. Whereas today, we have a lot more formal naming that most parents seem to like to call their children by a same formal name that they write on the birth certificate.
And I'm thinking Juanita, if I'm thinking of my Spanish correctly, isn't that the female John?
Yes, I think it depends on how you're spelling it. I wonder from her story if it might be spelled with a W, which would make it a different style of name.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yes, I was just listening to the pronunciation. Let's go next to Lorenz in Amro. How do you pronounce your name, Lorenz?
Lorenz.
Lorenz.
It would be.
Okay,
yeah,
Lorenz, Lorenz, as in long for Larry?
Yeah, I guess so. They called my dad Larry.
Yeah.
But I always had to go by Lorenz, so because... my dad's from Europe, and so Lawrence is how, when my aunts come for a visit, that's what they say. But everyone just says Lorenz.
I get it, okay.
So we got six kids, and my wife and I basically determined that we're going to, she can name the girls, I'll name the boys. Now, I was named after my grandfather, and I don't have a middle name, no middle name. And I really didn't want any of my kids to have a middle name.
Why
and
not?
So,
just because you didn't? Or do you think it's a hindrance to have a middle name?
It's actually more unique not to have a middle name than it is to have a middle
name. Oh, okay. I see. All right.
So and so we gave our kids European names. So I got a Dietrich. I got a Lorenz the fourth because I happen to be the third. And I have a Hans. So I wanted to name him Johann, but I know that if I did, they would have... I showed the name to some Americans. Without putting Johann Sebastian Bach, they would say Johann Sebastian Bach, but if you wrote the name by itself, they would say Joanne? Okay.
Yeah.
So I said, no, we'll name him Hans. So we just cut it short. But, yeah, names are a big deal for me. And I always, so she named the girls, and we actually have a Caitlin. You talked about that name earlier. She liked the name Caitlin. And we didn't do the name Kate and Lynn together. We decided to spell it differently, K-A-I-T-L-I-N, because we wanted to make sure that they didn't call her Lynn or call her Kate. So, So, and that was kind of my wife's idea.
And what are your other daughters' names?
We have an Erica and a Meredith. And Erica does not have a middle name. And Lorenz the Fourth, we call him Ivan because of the IV at the end, the Roman numerals.
That is really great. Lorenz, thanks very much for that. Anything stand out to you, Laura?
What really stands out to me there is a family where the boys and girls have such totally different naming styles. You would never guess that a Caitlin and Erica would have, if I understood his story correctly, brothers named Dietrich and Hans.
Right.
That it seems like from a whole different world. And that's an interesting kind of compromise. Typically, each baby name is a complete compromise between the two parents. But if you decide to split the territory, one names the boys, one names the girls, you can end up with a family that seems to have two distinct parts.
Yeah. He mentioned how he changed his thought on naming one of his sons because he thought people would mangle the pronunciation of it. Is that something to consider?
You see that a lot, that parents like a name from another culture, but they're worried how it will be pronounced. And interestingly, he didn't mention it in terms of Caitlin, but that's how the name Caitlin came to be. That it's actually originally an Irish form of Catherine that was pronounced more like Kathleen. So the name Kathleen, which was a big favorite in the mid-20th century, was an anglicized version of the Irish Caitlin. Then we imported the spelling instead of the sound and pronounced it Kate.
Let's go next to Jacob in Oshkosh. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You think you have a very common name?
Yeah, as far as I know, Jacob was one of the top boys' names for like 10 years in a row.
Yeah. Did you know a lot of Jacobs?
Yes, I did.
So I understand that because you had a common name, you wanted it to be different for your children?
Yeah, actually, so there's 6 kids in my family, and all of us have pretty common names. Aaron, John, Faith, Jacob, Caitlin, and Hannah. So all of our pretty common names, and all of us knew a lot of other kids with those names. So when I was naming my kids, I wanted something a little more uncommon, but I also wanted something with meaning. So my firstborn daughter, her name is Eliana, and we call her Ellie for short. And her name is Hebrew for God has answered. Aww. And then my younger daughter, her name is Juliet, which means youthful. She was born almost 3 months early.
Aww. How sweet and beautiful names. I like that he wanted them to be different, but he also wanted them to be meaningful. So he actually looked up the meaning of the name itself, Laura.
It's interesting that the relationship of a name to its meaning, that in general, it's almost a kind of a secret message, a story we can tell our kids, because the name Juliet is obviously a classic, a literary name. We wouldn't necessarily hear that meaning, but when you're talking to your kids, you can impart that message as sort of a special family story. Whereas some of today's names wear their meanings on their sleeve because we're starting to turn common English names into baby names. So that if you have a common name today, for instance, is Serenity. You might not think so, more common than you might think, yet suggests its meaning right on the surface.
Right.
It's a very different feeling.
Yeah. Just 30 seconds to go. Jacob was a very common name?
Jacob was the number one name in America for a decade, and it's starting to fall fast because parents today now grew up surrounded by Jacobs. We reject whatever we're used to.
And that's what Jacob, our caller, did precisely that. So we are talking about names and baby naming trends and how we choose names, why we choose names, what our names mean to us and the effect they have on our lives. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. The list of the most popular and least popular names for boys and girls was released last week from the Social Security Administration. and we are talking about naming trends. By the way, for the fourth consecutive year, Noah is the most popular name for boys, and for the third year in a row, Emma is the most popular name for girls. But we are talking about some of the fastest growing names and some of the names that are losing popularity, and talking about what's in a name. What's in your name or the name of your children? Why did you choose the name you chose? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Laura Wattenberg, creator of the website babynamewizard.com, author of the book The Baby Name Wizard. And our next caller is Elizabeth in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Elizabeth. I like your name.
Thank you. I've always liked it, too. And you can use so many nicknames from it, Liz, Liza. I've always gone by Beth. And I've never met a ton, you know, I've met a few Beths over my life, but not a lot. But as I was doing research into my ancestry, I found that every generation, with the exception of my parents, had an Elizabeth in that generation back to the 1500s, or multiple Elizabeths. So it seems like it's getting less popular.
And I'm sorry, are you saying in your own family tree you noticed that there was an Elizabeth throughout?
In my own family tree, on both sides of my family, on my mom's side and my dad's side, as I started going back, and my dad's side had traced back to like the 1500s in Germany, and there's been an Elizabeth in every generation, with the exception of my parents. And they, you know, my parents were not aware of that when they named me. They just liked the name.
Isn't that something? Well, any reaction, Laura?
Yes, I think that what she's saying, she's absolutely right that her name is becoming less popular. It's still a popular name, certainly like a top 20 name. But that idea that there would have been an Elizabeth in every generation was standard for names like that in the past. Incredibly, there was actually a time in England when the names John and Mary alone accounted for a quarter of all babies born. We didn't have this idea that, of course, your name is a unique identifier that sets you apart from everyone. In fact, those John and Marys probably didn't even have surnames. So Elizabeth was a classic that we were happy to share. Today, we're not so willing to share our name with others.
Yeah, and as you mentioned a little bit earlier, parents seem to be worried about their kids being ordinary. What's wrong with being ordinary?
It's the big fear of this generation. It's not true in most spheres. I mean, we're perfectly happy to choose the most popular car, the most popular outfit. But there's something about names that we've come to expect that your uniqueness as an individual should be reflected in your name.
Here's a unique name, Ryan in Spring Green. Hi, Ryan.
Hi there.
And so, can you spell your name for us?
I almost got away with a more common name, at least, and I was going to be named Levi. But closer to my birth, my dad got really passionate about naming me after his favorite baseball player, Ryan Sandberg, who used to play for the Chicago Cubs.
Ah. And how do you spell your name?
R-Y-N-E.
Yeah, and how's that working for you?
Not bad, not bad. You know, the funniest thing that comes with a name like mine is the common mispronunciation, since it's similar to a more regular name, Ryan, that everyone just assumes that they've heard Ryan, and you have to kind of weigh out whether or not you're going to correct them, or if it's just a one-time meet and greet, then maybe just let it slide.
Well, it's very nice. He gets called Ryan every once in a while, but Ryan—that's a different name, Laura.
Yeah, I do remember Ryan Sandberg, and that's an interesting thing that happens with celebrity baby names. That at the time he was born, when presumably Ryan Sandberg was at the peak of his career, people might have seen it as an homage to the baseball player. But that does fade over time. We often, in fact, forget that names that we just think of as classics of their day were celebrity baby names. So a name like Willard, which you might just think of as an old-fashioned name of a century ago, was actually a celebrity athlete name. Jess Willard was a famous boxer. So the farther we get from the celebrity, the more the name just becomes your own.
You know, that reminds me of Reince. And I only say that because Reince Priebus, who is now the chief of staff in the Trump White House, was a is from Wisconsin and was the head of our Wisconsin Republican Party, for example. And that name gets mispronounced all the time. And then I thought about his last name is Priebus. I wish I knew the story behind the name. So Reince Priebus, his parents either had some kind of family name thing going on there, or they had a sense of humor.
They did. I think his name is short for perhaps Reinhold, but that his name is a legend of mispronunciation because it trips up your expectations. It goes from an E-I in the first name to an I-E in the second name, in the surname, and our brains just can't quite handle that shift. We constantly get it backwards.
Yeah. Nancy on Facebook says, I'm Hispanic and everyone around this area is surprised when I say my name is Nancy. They think I changed it when I came to the U.S. Her name is Nancy. So, any comment?
I think that that's part of America, is that not only do we have people who perhaps their heritage isn't an Anglo heritage and they choose names that are American names that from any place, but we also have people who perhaps do have more of an Anglo heritage and are choosing names from all over the world. You can no longer easily map a first name to a person's background.
Yeah. PJ on Facebook says, having a last name like Smith didn't allow me to get creative with my child's name. I wonder why. I wanted it to be unique, but not too unique that it would sound funny with the last name. Oh, that's why. I think Carson was a good choice. Carson
is a great choice. It's interesting that he would think that because most people go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
That if you have a name like Smith or Jones, you think, well, I have to really choose a unique first name to set myself apart, whereas my surname Wattenberg, we said, well, we really have to go simple because that's already a mouthful.
Yeah. Let's go to Kim in Waupun. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
My youngest daughter's name is Modesta, and there's a story behind it. That was my mom's name, but when we were growing up, we didn't know that my mom's name was Modesta. We thought her name was Marie. When we were about, I guess I must have been about 8, I discovered that my grandma told me that her name was Modesta. Modesta Marie, and everyone always called her Marie. And so as the story goes, my grandma in the 50s was divorced. She raised 8 kids by herself in Fond du Lac. She was Catholic. And the divorce thing there, big stigma. And they were Italian. And so, and they were poor. So my mom and my uncle Massimo, they changed my mom's name to Marie, basically, the nickname, middle name. And my uncle's name was Massimo Montgomery. And so they called him Monty. And it was all for all those, discrimination reasons,
right.
I guess is probably what you would say. And I guess the only reason why we kind of discovered it is because Grandma said that her sister's name was Modesta. Everyone called her Nesta with an N. It was always Aunt Nesta our whole lives. And so that opened the dialogue. And I just think that it's interesting that, due to social pressure,
right.
Sometimes a name can be a less than perfect thing, so you just change it until you fit in.
Yeah, and what about, and that's a great story, Kim, and I can relate to that with my dad coming over from Italy himself. But mm-hmm. Modesta is your daughter's name now. How is that going? Does she go by Modesta or a nickname?
Well, my mom had cancer at the moment when I was pregnant with Modesta, and my dad said to me, will you name her Modesta? Because the name actually goes back 7 generations into Italy. And I don't know for sure if it goes any further back than that, but I know for a fact that Grandma always said that it went back 7 generations, Molly being the 8th, actually. And so my dad came to me and he said, will you name her Modesta? Because of my mom's sickness and perhaps, maybe her at the end of her life. We didn't really know for sure. As kind of an honor. And I said, ooh, Mom's not going to like that, because we couldn't even breathe the name Modesta when we were kids, because my mom took that as a sassy moment.
A sassy moment.
She made it very clear that we weren't to say it.
Yeah.
So I went to my mom and I said, well, Mom, we would like to name, if it's a girl, we'd like to name her Modesta, if that's okay. And my mom got a real sober look on her face and she said, I'll let you name her that, but you can't call her that. And I said, okay. Well, we named her Modesta Molly and took the middle name from a real nice lady in Merkezan when we lived over there. She was a wonderful lady. And my grandma from the other side used to always call us when we were little Miss Molly when we were naughty. Oh. I don't know what that really meant, but the name Molly definitely meant you were going to sit on the chair.
I'm going to jump in because we're running short of time. But Kim, that was a great story, and I love the name Molly too. What isn't that something, Laura?
I think it's lovely seeing a sort of multi-generational American tale that in past generations. Her parents or ancestors were trying to assimilate and trying to perhaps hide their Italian heritage for fear of discrimination. And now we see their descendants sort of proudly turning back to that and reviving that tradition.
Yeah. My dad's name was Gerardo, and it was changed to Gerald or Jerry when he came over to Ellis Island. His brother was Giuseppe, so he was Joe. So that's the way that goes. Because I'm real short on time, Carol in Oak Creek is with us. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol, old-fashioned name. But what I wanted to ask you about is my father. He's deceased now, but I've always wanted to ask him. His name is Conrad, but everybody in the family and friends would call him Connie, and I was wondering what effect that would have on a psychic of a masculine man having a kind of a feminized nickname, you might say.
Yeah, and was he a tough guy or did he?
Oh, he was very, yeah.
that's interesting. I knew a Lynn, but he went by the name Jim instead of Lynn. A very quick reaction to that?
And there is a theory that's actually been called by researchers the boy named Sue phenomenon, the theory that boys who have names that tend to be more common for girls actually get tougher and act out in response. But Connie's a name that was used for boys and girls for generations before Constance took over.
Yeah. Well, 30 seconds to go. What are you looking for on the baby name horizon?
I think we're looking for more names that are based purely on sound and more names that really push the envelope in terms of aggressive style. We're starting to see babies named Riot and Danger, as well as babies named Eternity. Anything goes today.
It's been fun, as usual. Thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Laura Wattenberg is the baby name wizard. Thanks to Nyasia Ellison for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.